Hi there, bem-vindo a mais um Fast Mover Audio Experience, o seu podcast para aprender inglês. E esse é um episódio 100% em inglês. Eu tive a oportunidade de gravar uma aula com um professor britânico sobre expressões idiomáticas em inglês. Então, já aproveita também para praticar o sotaque britânico do professor Jonathan. Eu estou aqui em Londres no momento, fazendo intercâmbio com os alunos. E as lives do YouTube às terças-feiras, às 20 horas, não param. Já coloca aí na sua agenda, se inscreva no canal e ativa as notificações. Compartilha também o link desse episódio com seus amigos no WhatsApp. Aproveita bastante o episódio de hoje. Stay tuned and listen up. Hey Fast Movers, welcome to this video. I am Ina Marahuda and at the moment I am in London at Nacelle School. I came here to study English with a couple of Brazilian students. They came with me, I brought them with me to study here and with some British teachers, and this is one of them. Hello.
Hello.
And what's your name?
My name is Jonathan.
Jonathan. So Jonathan is a teacher here at Nacelle. We came here with IC Group Education, and it's really interesting the chance we have to learn not only English, but also specific things about British English, which is quite specific, isn't it?
Yeah, so lots of people sort of compare the British English to English in other countries like America. Mm. My students will sometimes say words with, you know, like trash or garbage. And I'm like, in England we say rubbish.
Or bin or litter.
Or bin or litter, yeah. All of these words. And it's not just that, even down to sort of modes of transport, like cab and taxi is also the same. And yeah, there are all sorts of differences. And then, of course, there's differences in spelling, which is a whole other video.
Spelling, yeah. And also accent. And also idioms, I think. Do you think some idioms, they can be used in different countries? Or are they a bit specific about England?
I think a lot of idioms can be used
in both.
In both. Mm-hmm. But maybe the history of some idioms comes from a particular thing in English history, right, compared to America.
Makes sense, yeah. And the good thing, I think, about studying English in London is that you have the chance to get in touch with many different cultures, right? Mm-hmm. I guess, yeah, you have not only Brazilian students, but probably people from all over, right?
Yeah.
Have you had a chance to teach Japanese?
Turkish. Yeah, so I think over the past few months I've taught Japanese students, Turkish students, some Iranian students, a couple of Thai students.
Wow, Thai.
And we have quite a few Brazilian students at the moment.
Quite a few, yeah.
So, a big number of those, which is great. And a few Chinese, although not many, could do with more. I taught in China, so
wow.
I was keen to see Chinese students.
Very experienced teacher. Mm. I think that's very good to have the chance to be in touch with different cultures and different ways to express yourself. And I think today we are going to learn some other ways to express ourselves in English, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to have a class here for you from a British teacher. So what are you teaching us today?
Okay, well today, as we were talking about idioms and how there are lots of different ways of talking about things, some phrases where you look at the phrase and you think, I think I know what that means, but in this sentence, I don't understand it. Often we can call this an idiom. It's a particular phrase which uses words in a way to sometimes mean a completely different thing to what you would think from the sentence.
So you could say perhaps an analogy or a metaphor, like could you say that is that or?
Yeah. So I mean, to use one example, it's kind of like a phrasal verb, but I'll just give you one example. So to take off, normally it refers to like taking off clothes, like a jacket or a jumper or anything like that, or take off my glasses as well. But if I'm talking about going on holiday and I talk about a plane at an airport, a plane also takes off. It leaves the ground, it goes up in the air, it takes off. So that's one example of a phrase where you would not think that take off means go up in the air.
So you need a context.
But we can use it. Yeah, so often you always need a context or an example to sort of understand these sentences. And I particularly want to look at idioms related to food, using food words in a way where, again, you think food and preposition, what? Doesn't make sense. But we can use them in particular ways to express ideas, opinions, or maybe to make our conversations a bit more interesting, a bit more exciting. A lot of these phrases that I've prepared today are phrases English people use all the time, you know, in just natural conversation.
Very important to learn then.
Okay. So if we start with one item of food, eggs. Obviously, we've just had Easter, so very important. Now, imagine that I boast that I am a very, very good Spanish speaker. I'm fluent in Spanish. So I then go and speak. I see there's a Spanish lady over there. I go, oh, I'm going to go and speak to her and show off my incredible Spanish. I go over to her and I say, hola, you know, and just hola. And then she starts speaking to me in Spanish very quickly. And I'm like, I do not understand anything she says. Then I look a bit stupid because I've been saying, oh, I'm such a great Spanish speaker. I'm wonderful. I'm amazing. But then afterwards, I feel stupid because I was not telling the truth. So an idiom I can use here is I have egg on my face.
I have egg in my face. I would never guess that one.
Yeah. So if you imagine I literally get an egg and I throw it at somebody.
Right.
You know, goes in the face. They look, you know, messy, humiliated, embarrassed.
Right, that makes sense.
Dirty. But obviously no real egg in this situation. It just, I look stupid. I'm like, oh, what do I do? I look so stupid. I can't speak Spanish. And I just run away.
The sentence would be, I have an egg in my face.
Not even and, just I have egg on
my
face.
I have egg on my face.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
In that situation, I would have egg on my face. I would feel embarrassed, feel humiliated, because I have been made to look stupid by somebody. My words were wrong. Yeah, I lied. And continuing on the idea of eggs, imagine that I'm talking about a group of people. Some of them are good people, they're very exciting, entertaining. There's one person who is very badly behaved, always disrupts the class, and maybe does bad things outside of class. I would call him a bad egg.
A bad egg. What is this thing about eggs?
I don't know why eggs in particular. It's just one of the quirks of the English language. Yeah. So, yeah, he would be a bad egg. Whereas maybe the other students who are better, I would describe them as good eggs.
Okay, good eggs and bad eggs.
Yeah, and another example with apples is the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I believe that one I might know. Does that mean that a child is very similar to the parent, or is that something to do with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you imagine the tree is like the father or the mother, or maybe even a brother possibly, or a sister, then the other person, the person you're talking about, they are the apple. If they don't fall far from the tree, then it means that they are close to that person. You know, they are similar. So maybe similar in a good way or in a bad way. You know, if the father is bad, then maybe the child is bad too. Or if they're a good person, they say, oh, he's such a lovely boy. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Or you can use the opposite, where let's say the father or mother are good people, but the child is bad. And then you can say, oh, the apple has fallen very far from the tree.
Has fallen very far.
So you can change it.
Very
well.
Nice. I didn't know this variation of the apple.
Yeah.
Going
if anything, it's often stronger in that context, mm-hmm. I think, because it's more negative, you know, so you say, oh, the apple's fallen very far from the tree. You know,
so it's important to understand the context so you can put in that correct way. Otherwise, you're going to mess up the whole meaning. So, yeah, very interesting. Very good.
Okay, another one, keeping on the fruit theme. We have the idea of to bear fruit.
To bear fruit. This one is new for me. Bear like a bear.
Same spelling, but bear as in more like giving birth. Bear. Right. Yeah, bear born. Like
oh,
that
right.
One.
Okay.
So yeah, bear normally means to carry. So like to carry a child and then to give birth, to bear a child. If you bear fruit, let's say that you have a science experiment. You know, you're doing a test, you put elements together, you hope that your test, your experiment will bear fruit. Mm-hmm. It will produce a result. Hopefully a good result, a result that you want, but maybe even a bad result. Maybe it will blow up the laboratory or something like that.
In Portuguese, we have something similar as well, with the same idea. But if you translate it literally, it would be something like give fruits, which obviously doesn't make sense. Can we use that? Give fruits?
Well, yeah, it's sort of like, it's similar, because the greatest synonym is probably produce.
Produce
a result.
Yeah.
So like you bear a child is like to carry and to give birth, to, mm-hmm. you know, child comes out. But then you produce something, then, yeah, obviously you do a test, put two elements together, there will be a result, whether it will be two elements that change the colour of the liquid or create a fire in the laboratory or something.
Some result you're going to
have. Yeah, there will be some results.
Okay.
So, yeah, to bear fruit, you hope that something will bear fruit, will produce a result.
Very good.
So when you're working to a deadline or you're working on a project, you can say, we hope this project will bear fruit.
This project will bear fruit. Very good.
Yeah,
we
like
love
a tree.
Sentence, yeah.
And now moving back to sort of dairy foods, sort of cheese, milk, butter, that kind of thing. If I say that I am cheesed off.
Cheesed off?
Cheesed off. What do you think that means?
Are you pissed off?
Yeah.
Ah, is it true?
Yeah, cheesed off means I'm fed up. I'm annoyed. I'm very angry about something. Maybe something that's been happening over a long time. I'm fed up. I'm cheesed off about something. I'm cheesed off about students being late to class or something, you know. Something
don't be
like
late
that.
To his class.
Yeah, don't be late to
note.
My class.
Take notes. You guys like to use food for your idioms, or is it just the...
I don't know. It's just there are all sorts of things for idioms, but food, it just happens to be a lot.
Regarding food.
There are some good ones to do with milk as well.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, you shouldn't cry over spilt milk.
Oh, we've got exactly the same Portuguese.
Is it that translation?
Exactly the same.
Oh, okay,
you shouldn't cry over the spilt milk.
Yeah.
Exactly the same in Portuguese.
Yeah, so anything, maybe you went to a job interview, you didn't get it, you really wanted the job, and you're sitting at home and you're like, what do I do now? I really wanted that job. You know, why, what do I do now?
Moaning,
dwelling too much on the past.
Yeah.
So you need to look ahead to the future and not think too much about the past.
That's a good one.
The past is finished. So you have to look.
Are you a coach?
Coach? No, not a life coach. No, not yet anyway. Not yet. Yeah. So you have to look ahead to the future and to, the milk is spilt. Clean
past.
It up, just, you know, move on.
Move on.
Clean it up and move on.
Very good.
Don't sit there and go over spilt milk, because same point. Go and buy some more milk, there's plenty. All right.
Exactly.
And another one we have, let's move on to cake.
Cake
is good. If I say something is a piece of cake.
Something is a piece of cake. This something is extremely easy.
Yeah, something is extremely easy. So maybe you do a test and you get to one part of the paper, one question, and you're like, oh, this is easy.
Piece of cake.
It was a piece of cake.
In Portuguese, you would say something like, this is papaya with sugar.
Papaya with sugar.
Also to do with food.
Yeah.
But yeah, this test was so easy. This was papaya with sugar. So
papaya with sugar. Why papaya particularly?
Why
cake?
Yeah. Why cake and why apple? So
Don't ask why with these things. Just accept it.
Accept.
Idioms, just accept.
Exactly.
Okay, and similarly with cake, I can have my cake and eat it.
I can have my cake and eat it?
Yeah.
I don't know this one. No.
Okay, so if I have my cake and eat it, it means, let's say there are two choices. Let's say I have a lot of money and I have two choices. I can buy a new house or a car with it, or maybe I can invest it, you know, put it into an account for later in the future.
Right.
If I do both of those things, I am having my cake and eating it.
All right.
If I, but really, I should only do one of them.
Mm-hmm.
If I have my cake and eat it, then maybe it's like greedy to do two things. Yeah, I should. I'm doing too much. Maybe
choose
I should just
one.
Do one thing. So I don't. I maybe I only eat the cake, or I only have the cake, but I don't do both. I guess it relates to grammar. I would say I have my cake, I eat my cake, but I don't say both verbs.
Right. So
I think
choose
that's where
one verb.
Yeah, one verb.
It.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, don't have two verbs in your sentence like that, unless it's
too
mobile.
Many actions.
Yeah, too many actions. Too many actions.
Very
now,
good.
If we imagine. Let's imagine that you're daydreaming, thinking about your hopes and dreams, things that may not become true.
Right.
Okay, so imagine up there, what food do you think represents your hopes and dreams?
Oh, definitely a big donut, yeah.
A big donut? Not quite a donut. something quite British.
Shepherd's pie.
Pie, yes.
A pie. Okay.
Yeah, so we call it a pie in the sky.
A pie in the sky. This is so British.
A pie, yeah, very British. No particular flavour.
It's just a pie in the sky.
Yeah, so...
You guys are into pies, indeed.
Yeah, so maybe, I don't know, I want to be, you know, a world famous actor. Who knows, maybe happen one day, but, you know, unlikely. So I sit there, I daydream about it, and it's like... A pie is floating up there in the sky. It's a pie in the sky.
I can imagine the person who created this idiom. This person was literally imagining like
yeah.
a lovely pie.
A particular flavour, like steak or apple, you know, if
wow.
you get on the pudding front. Yeah, okay. absolutely.
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. So there's, staying on the idea of puddings,
mm-hmm.
the proof of the pudding is in the eating.
The proof of the pudding is in the eating.
Yeah.
Explain that to me, please.
Okay, so let's imagine I have a pudding here, maybe like a Christmas pudding or an apple pie.
Mm-hmm.
I've spent an hour or an hour and a half baking it or making it. How do I know if it's delicious or not?
Oh, you have to prove it.
Yeah, and how do I prove it?
By eating it.
Yeah, exactly. So I have to eat the pie. I mean, sometimes you might get a clue because it's like black when it should be nice and brown.
Yes.
But yeah, so you have the pie. I have to try a bit. I have to eat it or test it to see if it has been successful. And it's the same with making a car, for example. You don't know if the car will work until you try to drive it.
So you can use this expression for many different objects, let's say.
Yeah, yeah, anything. Anything where maybe you make it.
Mm-hmm.
You think, okay, I've done everything, I followed the instructions.
Now test.
But yeah, now I have to test to sort of confirm that it works.
Very good.
So that's
this
that
one. This
is
new for me, very nice.
Yeah, and there's one, this is a painful one now. to rub salt in the wound.
To rub salt in the wound?
Yeah. So
wow.
whenever you've cut yourself, you know, on a tree or on falling over, you have a bruise or a cut
mm.
or a graze. Have you ever tried putting salt on a wound?
I have never done it.
No, it's not a good idea because salt irritates and makes your wounds more painful. Okay.
So it
uses that idea and it relates it to a situation where somebody is having a bad day. They have to do something they don't want to do. Like, for example, somebody, they've been told they have to move out of their flat
mm-hmm.
by the landlord for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. To rub salt in the wound, maybe the landlord says, you have to leave and you have to clean the flat before you leave.
Not nice.
So that's rubbing salt in the wound. That's making it worse, making the person feel even more miserable than
making
they were
worse.
Before.
Yeah, makes
yeah.
sense. Well, see, once you put it in a context, it does make sense. I mean, it's all metaphorical and analogies,
mm-hmm.
but once it is in a context, it makes sense. Yeah, so very good.
Yeah, and another good one to do with the motion of eating. So, you know, what are the words we use when we eat?
Well,
what
chew.
I'm doing, yeah, chew and
bite.
Bite, yeah. To bite off more than you can chew.
Oh, right, yeah, we have exactly the same opportunity.
Oh, is it
to
the same?
Bite
yeah.
more than you can chew, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so for any situation where you know, maybe you really wanted a promotion at work, you know, you wanted, to, oh, I can work harder, I can do more things, come on, give me a chance. You're given the chance, You have 200 emails to answer by the end of the day, 3 meetings, a report to write, you've got to make 20 phone calls. You think, oh, maybe I have bitten off more than I can chew.
Yeah, makes sense. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, because if you put too much in your mouth, then you're like, and it's too much.
I can't handle everything, so yeah, too much. Very good.
And the last one I want to do, well, two more actually. There's something in good and bad taste.
Something in good and bad taste.
Yeah, or, well, good or bad taste, the option. So if I, let's say I go to a church.
All right.
And I'm sitting there and then I make a joke about God or Jesus, or if I go to a mosque about Allah or Muhammad or anything like that. If I did that, then it would be in bad taste.
Bad taste.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Something, it leaves a bad taste in the mouth, because maybe the people around me who are, you know, they are part of that religion, they take it very seriously, they do not appreciate people making jokes about it, you know, it, particularly on a Sunday morning or whatever day of the week it is, you know, they would be offended, they might be upset. So my joke, my comment would be in bad taste.
We say exactly the same in Portuguese. And also, perhaps if someone has a good taste, it could be, for example, about clothes. Like, oh, you're dressing nicely, so you've got a good taste. Like,
Yeah, absolutely. Good taste is most often used for, clothes, but also maybe something to do with hobbies, particularly like sort of books, music.
Like, oh, you've got a nice house, you've got good taste. Like, so lovely, right?
Yeah, so things like, so houses, clothes, maybe food, you know, literal food, and music, books, TV, film.
It works with
You're talking to somebody and they say, oh, you know, we have similar tastes. We both have good taste in music. We both like rock music or something like that.
It works really well with both good and bad.
Yeah. And then finally, let's say that going back to my first example where I've, you know, made a fool of myself, I look a bit stupid. Going back to the example of I said, oh, I can speak Spanish fluently. I've just proved that I can't because the person spoke, didn't understand any of it. I then have to eat my words.
Eat my words.
Yeah.
Right.
So imagine the words, they come out. And then they're here around me, and then I have to sort of take them back. I can't, you know, they can't stay out there. I have to take them back because they were incorrect, they were false. So it's like I pluck out of the air, oh, that word, that was a lie.
Yeah, basically, that would happen.
I mean, not really, but you know, imaginary example.
Absolutely.
So,
but let's think about maybe an example that they could possibly try to use it. Let's say you said something that the other person, you were rude to someone, and then you could say, "Oh, I'm gonna eat my words back." Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Usually makes sense.
There are a lot of variations. Right. Like, oh, if oh you are useless. You can't do 40 star jumps, you know, so if you do 40 star jumps, then I will eat my hat, you know. Yeah, it's a sort of phrase. Yeah, if you do it, I don't think you can do it. If you do it, I will be surprised.
You're like
I will do a stupid thing, challenging the person. Yeah, so, and again, so in that case, person does 40 star jumps, I'm like, oh, wow, you did it. I have to... Eat my words.
Okay.
Or eat my hat, in that case.
Or eat the hat.
Yeah, hat is just, I don't know, yeah, I mean, you could do any object, but hat is the most common one.
Yeah,
well, I will eat my hat if you do that thing that I think you can't do. But it's usually when you are confident the person can't do it.
Okay.
Maybe they prove you wrong, but maybe not.
You don't want to take the chance of eating your hat, so
If it's a big hat, then... If it's a big hat, then you'll have bitten off more than you can chew.
Absolutely, yeah. So make sure the person you are confident with the other person is doing, right?
Yeah.
Very good. Awesome. Wow, I've learned so much with you here. Some of them I knew, but some of them are brand new for me. So thank you so much, Jonathan, for all these explanations and this amazing class. I'm sure the audience is also happy to learn all those things with you as well. And if you want to come to England with me to study English here at Nacelle and with the IC Group Education Agency, you can have a look. There is a link somewhere here in this video, perhaps down here or up here, that you can see how you can apply for the vacancies. So any questions, any doubts, please just leave in the comments below. Also, if you have your favorite idiom, just also please leave in the comments. Don't forget to subscribe. There are plenty of nice videos here from London about traveling, about exchanging programs, about learning English, and about British teachers. So make sure also you leave your like so we know you liked the class. And thank you so much again.
That's okay. A pleasure. I hope you enjoyed it as well.
Thank you. Bye.